Joining me on the show this afternoon is John Hathaway, the LNP candidate for Townsville. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, Paul. Yourself?
All right. Been working hard at pre-polling, have you?
Absolutely. I've got probably a little bit too much sun over the last few days. I've got sweat running down me, and I've got chafe bits in places that I didn't even knew I had.
Yeah, well, I'm heading along to the old Joy's Main building tonight to slip my vote in because it's open till 9 p.m. tonight, I believe.
That's right, yeah. So Tuesdays and Thursdays, they're doing from 9 till 9. And Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays are 9 till 6. And they're even doing it on the middle Saturday from 9 till 5. So there's plenty of opportunity to get there early and avoid any of the queues. And in fact, last Tuesday night, whilst we were there to 9 o'clock, it wasn't highly utilised, so it's a good time to slip in and slip out absolutely very quickly.
That'll be me. Now, John, I wanted to have a quick chat today because, you know, over the last couple of years, I've got to say, I've been fairly vocal on youth crime here in Townsville, and I saw that Deb Frecklington came out and said that if elected, LNP will introduce a curfew in Townsville for under 14s by 8 p.m, I believe, and under 18s by 10 p.m?
Yes, that's correct. Or 17s to 15 by 10 p.m, and 14s and below by 8 p.m.
So I was just wondering, how would this work, John? Who would be responsible for taking those youth off the street if they are on the street after curfew?
Okay, so it'll require changes to both the Youth Justice Act and the Police Powers Act. And to answer your question, in short, it will be the police, and the police will be able to approach young people who are out beyond their timeline, for example. And if there's not a reasonable excuse, and I mean, let's face it, police actually practice discretion in all areas of law enforcement. So, for example, if, you know, a kid's coming home from Queen's Park, touch footy or something like that, and it's after their hour, but they're on their direct route home, et cetera, et cetera, well, of course, the police aren't going to take them off the streets. But if, however, the same child was out on the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe still in his Queen's Road touch footy gear, but the police would then take that child to a refuge where that child could be looked after. If there's any aspects of the child's home life or health that needs looking after, they'll be put in together with those services and until the parents can come and recover and make safe that child. And the parents will also incur a $250 fine.
So what happens if that child's picked up tonight and then they're found out again tomorrow night and the night after and the night after? What happens then, John?
Okay, well, look, this is a trial as well, Waldy. Yep. So, you know, this is a six-month trial. And obviously, and the reason we're bringing it out is because we've reached the point of community safety and particularly youth crime and its impact on community safety where action needs to be taken and where the city and the state government need to regain control of its streets. And so this, if you have a reoffending young offender that is constantly out, there's probably deeper reasons why that child is not going home and not being cared for by his parents or a responsible adult. And the police will then, and the health services and youth services will then also bring whatever support and action to bear and work with the family to overcome whatever is the reason that that young child is out beyond the hours that he or she should be and try to make that child safe.
So I suppose my biggest thing that I'd like to know, along with many people, with these repeat offenders, will we see that change to the Youth Justice Act and for those offenders to actually spend time incarcerated or going to an on-country program to take them out of the community? Because we see time and time again a minority upsetting the majority of the community. And the police, as you would know, John, are at the wit's end. They're catching these kids, no problem, but they're out the same day and they're back on the streets doing the same thing.
Absolutely, Wally. And so you've hit the nail on the head. And that's all our previous announcements that we've had about the changes that we're going to make to the Youth Justice Act. And absolutely, it is not a police issue. The police are actually apprehending and arresting those young offenders and those recidivist young offenders who are out on bail. But at the moment, we've had this Labor government for the last 5 years, two terms, three crime plans, 14 bullet points on those three crime plans, a plethora of forum, and they have done precious little. They repealed all the tough legislation we introduced in 2014, and of course all the figures went back up again. So it's not rocket science. And so some of the actions that we'll take within the first 100 days, if we're fortunate enough to be elected into government, will be such as changes to the Youth Justice Act, such as a breach of bail is an offence. Because we've got to instill some sense of consequence. You've got to actually have consequences for crims and a genuine concern for community safety. So breach of bail is an offence. We'll remove the clause that currently hamstrings magistrates in the Youth Justice Act that talks about detention only as a last resort. So that clause will go. We'll also introduce mandatory detention on third conviction. So that does not mean that you can't, that a young offender could not go to detention on conviction one or two if they are heinous enough. Absolutely they will. But what it does mean is, regardless of what convictions were on one or two, conviction three, and it doesn't matter how small or minor, will be that offender will be detained. And so the other thing we'll have is that all convictions under the Youth Justice Act will be admissible in big boy and big girl court under the criminal code. So in other words, we have young offenders who are recidivist young offenders that have 15, 20, 25 or 30 convictions, and they will end up in under the criminal code. And when they go to the criminal code for their first appearance, etc., they appear as clean skin. So even if they get convicted under the criminal code for whatever heinous crime that they've committed, the magistrate does not see any of their prior convictions. Well, we'll change that because, again, we need to create that sense of consequence for those crimps. But it's not all about stick. There is also rehabilitation. So you mentioned about on-country programs. We'll have post-detention community payback farms. And these are farms sort of similar to, I guess, you know, you're aware of Jeff and Vicky Toomby out at Wonderland, yep, et cetera, yep, where kids can learn skills, and be it rural skills or, you know, Cert 3 and rural operations or that sort of stuff. So it'll give them a challenge. It'll take them, they won't just be immediately released into the environment, which was causing them to offend anyway. They'll be taken away to these community payback farms, learn skills, perhaps develop a sense of self-worth and self-respect, accept challenges, etc., and get skills that are employable. And so that's about the rehab side of it. But the other thing we'll be doing is closing these blooming bail houses in the Burbs, where at the moment they'll cost $70 million over those two bail houses, one in Aiken Vale and one in West End, will cost $70 million over 3 years, or about $2,600 per detainee or resident per night, and yet they still have an above 80% reoffend rate. So to me, that's just not good business sense by any means. It's not working. So we'll close them down, and we'll take a portion of that money, about $10 million, and we'll invest that in what's called Justice Reinvestment Program. And the intent of that is similar to programs that, well, I think it was originally developed in Texas. It's been employed to great effect in South Australia and New South Wales, and the intent is this. It is before a child enters either the youth justice or the criminal justice system, they often will start going off the rails. And when that's identified, we'll intervene. And we'll intervene them through things like, you know, either Jeff and Vicky Toomby's program or Outward Bound or those sort of things to get that young child onto the straight and narrow before they actually enter the youth justice or the criminal justice system. And the intent of Justice Reinvestment Program is it is far cheaper and more effective to spend a dollar up front before a young offender enters the justice system, and you end up saving, you know, magnitudes of about $150 or $200 downstream after they've entered the justice system. So it's money up front, spent early, spent wisely, intervenes them, and actually stops that young offender or that young child that's at risk from ever entering the justice system.